At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
Hi, I'm Darren Marlar, host of the Weird Darkness podcast. I want to talk about the most important tool in my podcast belt. Spreaker is the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to record, host, and distribute your show everywhere, from Apple Podcasts to Spotify. But the real game changer for me was Spreaker's monetization. Spreaker offers dynamic ad insertion. That means you can automatically insert ads into your episodes. No editing required. And with Spreaker's programmatic ads, they'll bring the ads to you, and you get paid for every download. This turned my podcasting hobby into a full-time career. Spreaker also has a premium subscription model where your most dedicated listeners can pay for bonus content or early access, adding another revenue stream to what you're already doing. And the best part, Spreaker grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or running a full-blown podcast network, Spreaker's powerful tools scale effortlessly as your show grows. So if you're ready to podcast like a pro and get paid while doing it, check out Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com.
3, 2, 1, go. You already know, bruh. Me goes hot, fast, coming in quick, fast. You already know who it is. Price, Rob, Big Biscuit, Rob Migos podcast in the building.
We here, baby.
Yep, and as always, like and subscribe. Remember, turn up so we can turn up for y'all, you know?
All that, all that.
People's about us, you know?
You see it?
Look, today we have a great show for you guys. We have multiple things that we must talk about. Mm-hmm. We got to talk about MLB, NFL, NBA, people spitting on each other.
Bye.
Yep, hot tour on the football field, but not in the way you're thinking about, Playboy. Put your mind back in the right place.
Mm-mm. Yeah, gutter guy.
And we got to talk about, you know, this good old Kawhi scandal. But first, we have to talk about an incident that happened at the Phillies and Marlins game the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you guys do not know what happened the other night at the Phillies and Marlins, it was a wonderful game. And then, well, it was a wonderful game for the Phillies. Let me be, you know, correct about that first. And what wound up happening during this game was, you know, at one point during the game, Phillies is putting foot to, you know, Marlins patootie.
Tookus.
Yep. And then, as I'm going to go ahead and add this up so you guys...
Bro, that beautiful bean footage.
This is what happened. Harrison Bader steps up, you know, looking like Harrison Bader, and bam, sends one into the upper deck. But we have a dad retrieving a ball for his kid. Now, look, woman, you know, upset. Mm-hmm. The man gets ball for child. Hands, sweet moment right there until she just stops this. Man's looking defensive.
Aggressive.
Aggressive. Look at her. Look at her. She's mad. Look at the reaction of the people behind him. They are like, oh my God. Do you see this? This man is with his family. She wants the ball. Man hands her back. Ball.
got the hoop earring, got the I love black man haircut. Like, fuck, mm-hmm. like, Jesus, all the way fucking up.
But don't worry. Philly staff to save the day.
Karen mode activated.
Yes, this was definitely Karen mode activated. Kid gets a hug, and he gets a Harrison Bader signed bat.
Hell yeah.
Look here. We just want to go ahead and point this out to all of you Karens. It is baseball season still. Why would you look to stop this from a kid? It's MLB time, okay? And what she exhibited was baseball thugonomics 101. Not to be confused with my boy, you know, basic thugonomics, John Cena. Two different things. Two different things right here, people. One person is about to retire of one of the most illustrious careers. Her being a self-righteous person behind taking a baseball from a kid with his sister, mom, and dad at a baseball game.
Sad.
Guys, how do we feel about what we just saw? How do we feel? Jarvis, tell me, how do you feel watching this woman take this baseball from this child?
Well, I would hate to play devil's advocate, and, you know, I don't usually defend the Karens, but one thing I do notice, now, don't get me wrong, I don't know the etiquette of catching home runs, you know, I've never been in a position to catch a home run baseball, but to me, it looked like it landed right in front of her and her husband. They was in the process of picking it up when he just came out of nowhere and swooped in. Now, granted, if it's, you know, if that's the case where it's just, you got to be quicker than that, you know, grandpa putting a dollar on a fishing pole, if it's one of them type of things, you know, I get it. She should have been quicker. But me personally, seeing an older couple, you know, next to me, I probably wouldn't have went there to steal it from the older couple. Nah, you know, probably somebody my age, one of y'all, yeah, y'all would have got mossed. But, you know, it just seemed a little, he went out of his way to get it from the older couple. Now, granted, I know he was trying to do it for his son, you know, but at the same time, I don't think what she did was right, because she went way over there too aggressively, especially if her husband wasn't worried about it, because that should have been his job to go confront the man, but he wasn't worried about it, so I don't think she needed to get in Karen mode and worry about it. But to me, I feel like it was a both kind of wrong thing, unless I'm just wrong on the catching home run etiquette, you know. So that's just my take on the situation. Also, I don't usually, you know, give props to Phillies, the Philly, you know, organization. It's that much hate I got for them. But, you know, the sun shines on the dog ass every once in a while, so I give them props for what they did for the kid. Yeah.
Rob, do you agree with our constituent that the dad was wrong for running over there to retrieve this ball?
So yes and no, because I think Bisky's right when it's like, all right, look, like, this is in front of y'all, like, you know, hey, this is in y'all vicinity. Hey, look, mm-hmm. that's what it is. But I'm also on the side of the dad, because it's like, it was in his role. He basically jetted his ass down there to go get that damn ball. It wasn't like everybody was, it wasn't like she called fair catch. Everybody, you know, spread out, whatever. Like, no, he went over there to go get the damn ball. That's what it is. And so she needs to be mad at her knees. She needs to be mad at her joints, because the thing about it is, she wasn't quicker on the draw to go get that ball. He was. He, you know, was it low man win, fast man win? That's what it is. And so if she was fast, just as fast as getting in that motherfucker's face as getting that ball, wouldn't be in that situation. All right. That's her fault. That's on her. She needs to basically get their ass up there, get in the gym, do some leg lifts, run on the treadmill. Get your weight up, not your hate up. That's the problem with the people. That's the problem with this Karen, because she would have had all that energy for old boy instead of having all that energy for that ball that was right there in front of her. That's the problem, all right? That man earned that ball. He gave it to his son. I don't even care if he gave it to himself. He earned it. Her ass needed to basically get faster, quicker on the draw, take some fish oil, do something else. Like, I don't know what to tell you, but you got to be fast on the draw with that, baby.
And you heard it first,
she
right?
She activated her mega knees.
Yep, boom. I just about to boom. Say, you should have had knees like Megan, goddamn it, Taryn. You should have had knees like Megan.
Yep, because she at least would have, like, kicked, like, side kicked that nigga out and then basically went to the ball. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, look, that I think there's a lesson in every loss. I think this was, there was a lesson for her right here. She needs to take that L, but she needs to take that L-E-S-S-O-N and then basically do something else for next time, all right?
Be well prepared, miss.
I would have been I would have been at the baseball stadium, but I'd have boxed out like the Dikembe Mutombo, boy.
Exactly. Yeah, like get that get that round mound of rebound in there, like
not in my house.
Boy host.
No.
From the baseball diamond to 100 yards of glory, we must talk a little bit of NFL. But before we talk NFL, we must, well, I must cut a promo. Rob, let the people know what I'm about to cut a promo for.
So, if y'all basically been watching the last couple of episodes, we were talking about our fantasy leagues. We had our fantasy drafts last week. Thank you for everybody that participated in the fantasy leagues on sleeper.com. We actually filled out all the leagues, even though we had some people that left because, you know, puss or whatever. But either way, they left, and we still got a full league full of teams that have drafted individuals on those teams. And so, yeah, man. We're going to have a good season. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be doing this again probably next year. But essentially, yeah, we the boy Nate is going to cut a promo on his teams that we have in only backs and only QBs. Take it away, Nate.
So today I come to you to cut a promo for my only backs team. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make it a little bit personal. Team Breyer 09, who I'm facing this week. I don't care if you're Team 09, Minor 49, NBA Live 09. I'm taking a dub this weekend. This is what I'm doing, okay? I got Lamar Jackson. I got Connor. I got Eckler. I got Rico Dow. I got Micah Parsons, goddammit. And I'm coming for a win. I'm coming for a win. You remember that, Team Breyer. I don't care who you are. You could be Gilbert Arenas 09. Well, he was on the bench by then, but that's where you're going. Back to the bench. You're going to sit your behind now because this is what I do, okay? I make great picks. I build great teams, okay? This is me. I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence.
What there we go. Hope y'all rubbed off your ears from that hot fire that just came in there.
I told him this is what I do, bro. This is what I do. Now, there was another incident that happened. And, you know, our residential Cowboy fan knows exactly where we're about to go with this, okay? Dale Carter.
On deck. That tour.
For all of you who do not know what happened the other night, I'm going to go ahead and throw this one up there.
Play that beautiful bean footage.
So the other night, as you can see, there's a nice little Cowboys huddle going on right here. And then
Dan Campbell came in and he was like, okay, there we go.
Yeah. Dan Campbell came in. You know, you see the ref call and everything. But then you see right here as we fast forward it to right there. Bam. Jalen Carter spits on deck. Look at this. Slow motion. The loogie from the east to the west.
Okay? Nasty.
Just nastiness right there. Nasty. Just nastiness right there. That is uncalled for right there. Look here. I know that y'all took a proverbial, well, not a proverbial. Y'all took a little loss the other night. It could have been avoided. We're not going to delve too deep into that. But residential Cowboys fan, how do you feel about Jalen Carter spitting on your quarterback?
I just want to commend my quarterback for the poise and strength he had. Because I would have missed a whole nother season. I would have missed a whole nother season had that been me. I would have came out the hill. I would have came out the shoulder pads. That would have been they. I might have had a 2 years. I'd have run or test them. That's what would have happened on the field. Oh boy, Ron Artest would have came out of me. Steven Jackson, the malice at the palace, it would have been the malice in Philly. Because ain't no way that's so disrespectful. All because people spit on the football field all the time. All because Dak had to get a little loogie out. He had to spit. You know, it might have been in a direction, but people spit on the football field all the time. I guess he took it as Dak spitting on him. You know, come on now. You got to be a little more mindful than that. But Dak, yes, I salute you, sir. Because I would have been gone for the whole nother season. That's just no ifs, ands, buts about it right there.
Rob, how do you feel about what we saw with this week with Jalen Carter spitting on Dak?
Yeah, man, I get it from the poise aspect, but I think, honestly, dog, you got to shove him. You got to basically push him. Because the thing about it is, once you push him, everybody runs up. So it's like, it ain't like you was going to fight Jalen Carter. Because I understand, like, Dak basically being like, all right, I don't want any of this guy because this guy can rip me to pieces. Because, you know, he's a big boy, strong boy, young boy, all that shit. But you got to at least shove the nigga. Not just do the, hey, get a load of this guy. Like, no, man, you got to shove him. You got to basically push him. That way everybody jump in. It's a brouhaha. And then basically it's like you can at least be like, hey, I ain't really take this nigga for spitting on me. That's a lot. And yeah, I saw people being like, well, Dak provoked him. And it's, oh, shit. Dak was nowhere near Jalen Carter when he spit. He spit on the ground. And that was it. But no, you got to basically go ahead and be like, all right, look, like, just get that. And then basically whatever happens, happens. But at least you can at least say, I did something. Because like I said, poise wasn't the P word I was losing. But I ain't going that far. All right, I ain't gonna say he was anything else because I understand the calculus of it. I understand basically, oh, this guy is gonna get thrown out of the game. I'm not gonna have to deal with this for the rest of the game. I'm in the clear because ain't nobody else gonna really get after me from this team when this guy is out. But it's also where it's like, you gotta basically not just be company man and be Dakota Rain Prescott and basically go ahead and push the cat and just basically do it like that. So that was my thing about it. Like, I was just like, come on, man.
So look, so what you're saying is he could at least toss the chair at him, you know, and you could have let everybody else get it popping.
Could have at least pinched the beach.
Zach Martin wouldn't have let that happen. Zach Martin would have set it off.
Yeah, because the thing was, it was like nobody else was like, oh, let's go jump on Jalen Carter. They probably didn't even realize that he spit on Dak. Like, to be honest, like if they would have known that, they might have. If Dak would have pushed, dude, I think that they would have got it, and then they would have basically jumped in, even if they didn't know that he spit on
him. Yeah, it something should have went down. Something should have went down with this because this should have been a hell of a furniture moving situation around here.
It should have been something. But be that as it may, y'all want to play a game? Because we don't play a lot of games on this show. Like, so I don't know if you guys know that, but like we play a scant amount of games. But I have a new game that, you know, could basically rule the whole podcast world all over. And it's called Rochambeau.
Hey.
Rochambeau. Very clever name, I know. But no. Yeah. If y'all know the game, Rochambeau. But you know the game Rochambeau. If you don't know the game, it's rock, paper, scissors. Same thing, same difference. Instead of Rochambeau, we're going to bet 1 through 10 on what we think are going to, because we got 10 figures, we're going to bet what we think is going to happen to somebody. Like, if, say, there is something that we think is going to happen to, let's say, a Jalen Carter. Like, we can basically say Rochambeau, and we go Rochambeau. Bet like how many games he may get for his spit incident, for example. So if y'all want to basically, y'all want to play this game, y'all, do, your audience, y'all want to play this game? All right. So, Roshan bet, how many games will Jalen Carter get for a spitting? Roshan bet.
No. Three.
I got six.
Six games? You think he's going to get six games?
They're going to make an example.
And is that big of an example?
That's a huge one.
Rashee Rice just got six games.
Right. But damn, they're killing some people.
I feel like that is the typical standard. I feel like they always start out with six for some reason.
And then they kind of like dwindle it down.
Yeah, they always start out with six.
I could be over,
you know. I could be too high, you know.
Yeah, I mean that would be crazy. Like I think it's gonna example. Be one.
I'm Go thinking ahead. Example, but I'm thinking one? Three. I'm thinking three.
Why you said three?
Because I feel like three is gonna be with I feel like Jerry Jones is gonna go in there. We all know he loves to pull strings, okay? And his favorite thing is gonna be I'ma show them right now, spitting on my quarterback that I pay all that money. And he's gonna say three is gonna be the number. And I think three is gonna be the number for them to give to him, and that's gonna be it. But it's possibly just gonna be one, like you said. I couldn't see just one game for him. Hey, don't do that again. It is kind of messed up. Because look, let's be honest. Dak spit at the ground. You spit on him. Okay.
Yeah, it's two different things.
You know, they'll start out with six, but he'll get the appeal. He'll appeal it, and that's when they're going to be like, all right, two or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's going to be like I could see the investigation happening and then like, he basically, like, he plays next game, which is against the Chiefs, which I know they're going to want him for. And then he – or we go 10-4 do-rag and then suspend him for the Chiefs game. And basically, then he basically, you know, come back for the Rams. Like, it may be something like that. But, yeah, I don't see him – I don't see him getting more than one. He's going to get fined like crazy. But I don't see him getting more.
Yeah.
But
– I can see that.
But next game – Roshan bet, when we talk about, we keep on with the NFL. How many games will Tyreek Hill play for the Dolphins this year? Let's say. All right. Roshan bet. So I have eight.
I don't know why I'm going six.
I mean, you're on the streak. Six games. What you got, Nate?
Eight. He's going to play.
All right. So, yeah. Yeah, I got eight games as well.
Y'all giving them half the season.
Half the season.
Yeah. And mainly because, like, the trade deadline is going to come up. He's going to be on somebody else's team before then. Like, I don't see him basically lasting more than eight games with the Dolphins. I think they're going to basically give up on him, especially if they say, like, are, like, say, 2-5 at that point because of whatever reason. Like, two. But I think they're gonna give up on him. I think somebody else is gonna come calling and basically take him on. Maybe the Chiefs, whoever it may be. But no, I think eight games.
I feel like six because I feel like something is gonna happen. I don't know what. It might be like some locker room situation or something. Something's gonna happen. Then we're going to get a breaking news Monday or something after the game. Monday morning, breaking news. Tyreek Hill is being traded.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the Chiefs.
Got a feeling. I think that might be your fandom speaking over there.
Hey. He knows what he left. He know what he left over there. He knew that he had a great quarterback. And then went and lied to himself about how good Tua was. Just lied to himself. I don't know why sometimes, look, Tyreek, you ain't got to lie. You ain't got to lie to yourself.
Ain't got
to
lie, Craig.
You ain't got to lie. Just go back to Kansas City, bro.
Go on home, baby. Go on home.
Just go ahead. You got this. All right.
They do need a for show number one right now, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, with Worthy being what he's been, like, in and out with basically Rashee Rice, he's going to be back, but it's like, might try to basically put him with Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy. But they just, they got Hollywood Brown. Maybe they trade Hollywood Brown for him. Never know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Roshan Bett, what place will Paul Skeens get in the hot in the Cy Young voting this year?
Lightwork.
One, Roshan Bett. Yeah, we the ones. Ooh, two. Okay.
Nah.
Two.
Nah.
So who? Nah. So who?
Nah.
Who's taking the
number one?
Who's taking the NL Cy Young this year? Then.
I don't know who I got.
Hi, I'm Darren Marlar, host of the Weird Darkness podcast. I want to talk about the most important tool in my podcast belt. Spreaker is the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to record, host, and distribute your show everywhere, from Apple Podcasts to Spotify. But the real game changer for me was Spreaker's monetization. Spreaker offers dynamic ad insertion. That means you can automatically insert ads into your episodes. No editing required. And with Spreaker's programmatic ads, they'll bring the ads to you, and you get paid for every download. This turned my podcasting hobby into a full-time career. Spreaker also has a premium subscription model where your most dedicated listeners can pay for bonus content or early access, adding another revenue stream to what you're already doing. And the best part, Spreaker grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or running a full-blown podcast network, Spreaker's powerful tools scale effortlessly as your show grows. So if you're ready to podcast like a pro and get paid while doing it, check out Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com.
You just don't think it'll be Skeens?
I just feel like he get shafted. I think he's going to get shafted.
Yeah,
it's
going like
to make for great talk. It's going to make for great talk. Even though,
like,
yeah,
Christopher Sanchez.
I'm about to say, like, yeah, that. A lot of people think he might. You know, yeah, I think you know, it's because it's going to make for great talk. Everybody, I know a lot of people, I've seen a lot of people got them going unanimous, but I think it's going to be somebody that's going to sneak up. It's going to be somebody mm-hmm. going to sneak up. I'm not really sure who I got, though. Not sure who I got.
The one person possible is maybe Christopher Sanchez. Maybe.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be real with you. Christopher Sanchez, 12-5, 2.6 ERA, 186 strikeouts. Okay. I'm going to say this. If Paul Skeens was on a team like Philly, he's 12-5. I guarantee you Paul Skeens won 14, 15 games already.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've watched Pittsburgh lose games where they only get one run. Like, that's it. They're unable to produce runs. Because Paul Skeens, and then Paul Skeens go out there and just annihilates the other team.
Yeah.
Just annihilates. I mean, he's 10.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I like Freddie, man, from the Brewers.
That was what I would say. Like, Freddie would be another good candidate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can see that. But wins and losses for Paul Skeens is the only thing that's holding. He's number one in ERA. He's at a 1.94.
Yeah.
1.94.
And I feel like the wins and losses gonna come into play too. That's probably gonna come into play. And I feel like it's gonna be a close vote. It's not gonna be no blow. That's gonna be the closest vote, I think.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Listen here, you ML.
They always got an asshole on the voting panel in every sport. You know, they always got them people that want to be different or take it personal.
I'm going to be the guy that's going to be. I'm going to break away from tradition. And I'm going to be the different. I'm going to dare to be different. Like, for what?
Oh, like the year that the guy voted for Steve Nash instead of Shaq, and Shaq could have been unanimous MVP for Steph Curry. Yeah, I can see. You always got that one person. See them? They live life on the edge because, see, I'd be afraid Shaq might try to have a group of people catch me slipping one day or something.
Yeah, Shaq.
All the buttholes who didn't put who didn't make Ken Griffey or Ichiro unanimous Hall of Famers.
That's the biggest one. Those are the biggest
those buttholes.
Ones. Like, there's no fucking way you could basically say either one of them niggas is not unanimous MVP. Fucking Mariano Rivera is a fucking unanimous. Fuck it. Those, like, Ken Griffey Jr. is absolutely iconic. See, I'm going to get mad about the MLB Hall of Fame all over again. Gary Sheffield and Andrew Jones should be
I was
there.
So shocked, bro. Bullshit.
I got a special type.
Like, when Ichiro wasn't unanimous, I was like, my jaw was on the floor, bro. I was like,
the best international baseball player that's ever, outside of maybe Pedro or some shit. Like, okay, let's continue on with the game.
Like, all right, let's cool them off. Cool them off.
Yeah,
I got a special type of torture for people like that. I just want to lock them in a room with Prime Anderson Silver. Just give them a set of UFC gloves. You gotta last the next 20 minutes in here with Prime Anderson Silver. Good luck, and then just lock the door.
Right. All right. Rochambeau, what place will the Toronto Blue Jays have in the AL East when it's all said and done? All right. Rochambeau.
I'm going to say second.
I got third.
I got second, too. Third.
You think they're going to drop the third?
I think they go cool off, and I think the only thing that gives me pause is what effect Roman Anthony being out is going to do for the Red Sox. Honestly, like, I think that if he was healthy, Red Sox is going to take that division. I think with all the parts that they had, they were going to take that division, especially them coming up. And the Yankees being there, too. Aaron Judge coming back. Like, all that being what it is. I just think I think the Blue Jays are going to cool off. And that's why I think they go regress to third.
First of all, before we continue, I don't know what in the blue hell got into the Blue Jays. Because right around now, Rob, usually me and you are talking about Blue Jay failure. At some point, we did this last year. Whenever they got to right around now, we were like, they failed. They did exactly what we wanted them to do. And for some reason this year, they're not doing what we wanted them to do. Now, granted, they've been 50-50 on the road. They 37-36, but they're 45-24 at home. So they're not the team to play with at home. Them, the Yankees, Boston, not teams. Detroit, not teams to play around with at home.
Right.
They can put it to you. I don't know what's going on. They mentally cheat in some way, shape, or form. Because they're not doing what Blue Jays do. See, fish got to fly and birds got to swim. And Blue Jays usually drown at some point during the season. And they're not drowning. Right. Something is going on.
He's right. Like, they regress to that fourth seed sooner or later. I'm just giving them three because it's like, all right, Rays ain't like that this year. And the Orioles definitely ain't like that this year. So it's like three is basically going to be the floor for them. Like, I think they're going to hit that floor.
With just 20 games left, y'all think they're going to fall out of the sky like that?
I think the Yankees are better. And I think with them, I think they're going to basically come on. And I think they're going to get, they're going to outplay, like, cause it's close. Like, what's the standings right now between them right now? Like,
three games between Toronto and New York.
Yeah. So, like, I think that basically they're not, I mean, they're going to be in the playoffs, but I think that when it comes to AL East, like, I think that the Red Sox or the Blue Jays going to overtake them before it's all said and done.
They do got a tough schedule. Both of them teams. I'm looking for the Yankees got a tough schedule ahead to me.
Yeah, like both of them teams got better run differentials. Yeah, like I think and like they said, it's like this team just has they take failure out the jaws of victory. Yes. And it just happens. Even though I love Vlad Guerrero Jr. and I love like what they did, like getting Matt Scherzer and all them cats, bringing in Shane Bieber, you know, seemingly having a resurgence. Like I just can't rely on this team to be anywhere for them. I really can't rely on this team to be like, hey, I trust in you to do something. I trust in you to be somebody. I think
New York maybe closes the gap, overtakes them, and then like they are
in the middle of a series right now.
Yeah. New York beat them the other night 3-1. So we're looking at if New York beats them tomorrow, and that mean New York would have took 2-1 out of there because Blue Jays won the first one. So that mean New York will start to close the gap by like half a game right there. They'd be back like 2.5. And then I don't think New York has that bad of a schedule to finish off the rest of the year. Let's see. Toronto, they got Detroit the next three. Then they got us at Boston. But then they got Minnesota, Baltimore, Chicago, Baltimore.
Baltimore. Which Chicago?
They got
White Sox. Oh,
They got White Sox. Yeah, not a Cubs.
The last three series should be cakewalks.
Yeah, I don't see Minnesota fighting them. I don't see Baltimore fighting somewhat very hard. Maybe Baltimore steals it. Baltimore's going to play them 7 times towards the end. I can't see Baltimore taking more than 2 off of them. So they're going to win 5. Chicago, come on now, bro. We know what the hell Chicago is right now. Let's just be real. We know what Chicago is. Mm-hmm. We look at Chicago as like, look, Chicago and the Rockies are already got E's next to their name because they're eliminated. Yeah. Okay,
White Sox. Yeah,
yeah. The White Sox. The White Sox are mathematically already eliminated. Them and the Rockies.
I mean, at least spiritually, like they're mathematically and spiritually eliminated from like all relevant.
Which, oh, fun fact, the Rockies lost 100 games before they got the 40 wins. I just want to throw that out there to people. They lost 101 to be correct before they got to their 40, because they just got their 40 to win the other night against the Padres. Okay, so I'm gonna just throw that one out there, but they are already mathematically eliminated. Anyway, they were kind of eliminated at the beginning of the season. Kind of put them in the recycle bin early. So it is what it is, Rockies. Hey, you know, look, don't hate me. Don't hate me.
All right, let's round out the game. Go. You had one. You had anything else, bro?
Oh no, I'm done.
Okay. All right, the last one. How many draft picks will the Clippers lose? Let's go first rounders. Mm-hmm. Let's go first rounders. How many first round draft picks will the Clippers lose after the salary cap manipulation investigation? Row, sham, bet.
I'm gonna say one.
I'm gonna go 4.
I'm gonna say one. Both of y'all thinking 4. I don't know if they're gonna be able to get that up out of Steve Ballmer. I don't know how that's gonna work out.
So I think with everything and how they're basically aiming at all this, with the precedent of what happened the last time that there was like any kind of salary cap manipulation with the Timberwolves and Joe Smith, and they lost five first rounders. I think they're gonna lose one less, but I think they're gonna find them off their ass. I think they're gonna find them like shit $10 million or some shit. Like, it's gonna be some crazy fine. Like, and
they coming out of like, money.
Yeah, like because they've talked about different things as far as like what it could be like between Boyd and Kawhi's contract, all types of shit. So
with that being said, we're gonna move on to the NBA, and we're going to, of course, talk Clipper salary cap manipulation and investigation. Now, before we go into this 2D. I just want to let the audience know that the person that we are having, you know, this discussion about, this man, okay, be this man right here, Kawhi Leonard, okay, just a manipulation of money. I just want to remind you people, this person,
what do, baby?
Not just that. He laughs like this.
I don't even know where you're sitting at. Like.
He's right there.
Yeah, the glasses. There you go.
All right. This is the man that they are manipulating the salary for. Now, granted, he has the weirdest laugh ever in the NBA.
Oh, my God.
but he is a hell of a basketball player. Okay, this is the person that they are manipulating the salary cap. I just had to play that because that clip holds a special place in my heart because I'm like, if anybody ever had a weird laugh in the NBA, it's him. He laugh and didn't really even smile.
It was like the smile got like tripped up, didn't even know what was going on. It was like I was told to come here. Why am I here? Like, look, what's going on?
That laugh is still trying to figure out if it was at the right place and right time. Okay. It's still trying to figure out. Okay. But for you guys who do not know, this is one of the crazier layered stories in sports right now. It's so much going on. There are interviews and breakdowns of what is going on. But our residential person here in Rob is going to give you guys a quick, breakdown of what's actually going on.
All right. So if y'all haven't watched the Paulo Torre finds out, like, bombshell investigation, honestly, you probably a few people. Like, it's been everywhere. But it's like 3 hours of content that basically I listen to like on my way to work and shit like that. But like, yeah, it's a lot of shit, but I'm gonna break it down as best as possible because I listened to the whole thing. All right. So look, Kawhi Leonard signed with the LA Clippers back in 2019. Mm-hmm. Did it alongside of Paul George. They basically moved heaven and earth to go get Paul George to include trading away Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and a bunch of first rounders, which these first rounders, when it comes to when we talked about how many picks was going to be taken, some of those picks are still with the Thunder. So yeah. If they are taking these picks, the Thunder might have something to say about it, but we'll see how this all goes. But be that as may. So when it comes to the salary cap manipulation, it's kind of, it might not be as hard of a judgment that they could render out, but it's also that they have to basically put in that, Kawhi Leonard signed in a max deal to correspond with Paul George, but the max deal wasn't as much as he could have gotten with the years or whatever it was, or the optionality, which is the term that a lot of people use.
Yep.
And so when it comes to that, that might be the only thing that helps the Clippers at least keep some of their picks. But when it comes to what all it entails, so there was a company called Aspiration that was a sponsor for the Clippers. They signed on a deal in 2021 to be the jersey sponsor, to be have their names, naming rights deal, all that kind of shit. So the company is like this really, they're supposed to be like this green conglomerate in that they were going to plant trees, reduce the carbon footprint, all these kind of like, hippie kind of shit. But it was good things for the earth, whatever. And so they got all these sponsors, or they got all these different people to market their company, Robert Downey Jr., so on. They all got paid in certain amounts and stuff like that. But the biggest person that actually got paid from Aspiration was Kawhi Leonard.
Man with the weird laugh.
Exactly. And so Kawhi Leonard, you would think, okay, well, he's a basketball player, he's a well-known dude, finals MVP, all those kind of things. Of course he's going to get paid, But you also would think, okay, he's a guy that's getting paid money, to the tune of, in total, $48 million. He had to have done something. To this day, he has done squat. The three of us have done the same amount for Aspiration as Kawhi, this guy, has done for Aspiration. But we, all three of us, have not $50 million to either of our names. None of it. The deal itself didn't even have for Kawhi to even do anything. It was basically, if Kawhi wanted to do something, he could. If he didn't want to, it was fine. He was going to get paid nonetheless. The only way he was not going to get paid, the only way that they were going to terminate the deal, is if Kawhi was not a member of their Los Angeles Clippers. That's how crazy the deal was. So, like, the deal was only contingent or mainly contingent on Kawhi being a part of the Clippers. And you would basically think, like, okay, well, that maybe they're just Clipper super fans. The only fucking Clipper super fans I know of in this world are what? Clipper Daryl, I think that's what his name was, yeah. And Billy Crystal. That was the only two motherfuckers that basically live, breathe the LA Clippers in the light, in life. So I don't even know. And Steve Ballmer ain't even one of those people. Now he paid $2 billion in cash for the motherfucker. But either way, like, this man just, like, I wouldn't even say ski mask, but just basically wagoned out $50 million from this team that technically went bankrupt back in 2023. The reason why all of this was found is because in the bankruptcy paperwork, there was a LLC that was listed, KL2 Inspire, which was an LLC that was in the name of...
What do you do, baby?
And so... With that, that's how all of this got tied to him. It was $28 million over 7 years plus $20 million that was essentially sweetened. The dollar amount that Steve Ballmer of the Clippers gave to Aspire was $50 million. So it really kind of ties things together to say, hey, you're giving this guy a sweetener, maybe not salary cap manipulation, but at least a sweetener to stay with the Clippers, because then more money could come, whatever, whatever. And yeah, like, and then that's not even to talk about his uncle basically being a part of the deal and looking for and calling Inspire and basically say, hey, where is our money? Because they basically scammed and they scammed a lot of these people. And yeah, it's fucking crazy. So overall, do I really think that the Clippers could get off scot-free? Like, do I think that the Clippers should get off scot-free? I would say no. They're going to give up something. They're going to ass up something because seemingly, they made this shit happen. It's too much circumstantial evidence to basically think that the Clippers had nothing to do with it, especially because all the deal was contingent on being a clip on Kawhi being a Clipper, and Kawhi didn't have to do a goddamn thing. There basically is, there's people that ask the question of, did Kawhi even know about this deal? But that, I would say, honestly, is an assumption, because in the episode they talked about how Kawhi is so frugal, how Kawhi basically only ate Wingstop because they gave him an endorsement deal for it. So if this man basically is going to be frugal about his money, I'm thinking he's watching it. And so he ain't going to have $7 million a year pop into his account. He ain't going to have $28 million. He ain't going to have $20 million. Basically pop into his account without him basically knowing anything about it. So I think he might have played a part, but that's still nobody knows. He was at the U.S. Open the other day. That's the only time I think he's been out. But the thing about it is, yeah, this is crazy. Like, go ahead, listen to Pablo Torre Finds Out. Go listen to the episodes. Listen to the episode with him and Mia Hassan, David Sampson, and also listen to his interview with Mark Cuban, who was basically trying to be defense attorney for Steve Ballmer. And basically say his side of it, because Mark Cuban, which some compelling stuff, but not really anything that basically is objective, but basically was like, hey, I got scammed before. Steve Ballmer might have got scammed in this and might have had nothing to do with it. But I say all that to say this, because I didn't say this shit for 3 hours like they did, but like, no, go listen to it. Go listen to like all the details. It's fucking crazy.
So, we're going to bring this point to here. Ballmer more than likely knew, but there's a hint of plausible deniability, is what you're saying. Could he? Look, I'm going to say this. NBA teams have been known to give players extras. Like you called it, sweeteners. Gilbert Arenas has been on record saying this. Hey, we got this, but we could do this, this, and this to get you to the amount of money. We got cars, we got houses, we can give you all of this to get you to the value of what we said we were going to get you. Okay? Helicopter, whatever. Okay? Now, granted, I feel like this may have been one of those sweeteners that they tried to take the short route on and say, hey, just give him the money. Let him do whatever he wants to do with it. Mm-hmm. And this is where the sweetener went wrong. It's not so sweet right now. But maybe there's a little plausible deniability there, Rob. I don't know. Maybe Ballmer didn't know him.
It's one of those things, like when Mark Cuban was talking about it, he was basically making the case of, as a, from an owner's perspective of, there's so much time in the day. I don't look at every single company that's coming in and giving me money, and I'm not keeping up with them as far as like what they're doing to scam others. So it's like, I can see that as a, to a point, but it's also to where it's like a lot of those things align. Cause even in the initial statement with the Clippers essentially said that Steve Ballmer had no oversight on the deal. And then it went to, he had no knowledge of the deal. And then it went to, he had no oversight, or whichever ones, but basically both statements interchange oversight and knowledge. Because essentially, if you're saying that, hey, he had knowledge of it and then basically didn't break it off, then that's one thing. If he had oversight of it, that could take his team. Like if Adam Silver is the quote unquote bulldog when it comes to salary cap manipulation and trying to basically stop teams from doing shit like this, then he could. I mean, I don't think it'll get to that point where he takes the team from him. Like coincidentally, how Steve Ballmer became the owner when the other owners essentially took the team from Donald Sterling. May he rot in hell. Like they I don't think this is going to come to that point, but they could suspend him like they did Minnesota Timberwolves owner, Glenn Taylor. And they could just suspend like all the other people that basically may have been involved with it. But to Mark Cuban's point, he did say if Steve Ballmer basically did have anything to do with it, he's the dumbest motherfucker in the world. Like he said it repeatedly. Like he's the dumbest guy in the world, because essentially there's no reason to do this kind of shit or get to this kind of extent, because the way that it seemingly was done was sloppy as fuck. No, it was sloppy. It was sloppy as fuck, because it was just like they basically, the company went under, and that's how all this shit kind of got found out. But like all the different things that basically was, which was the LLC in Kawhi's name that was filed with the California Secretary of Justice, or Secretary of Justice, Secretary of State, whatever, Department of Justice. All these things like tied to him, where basically it was like they felt like this was an up and up deal. They made this like with them not having Kawhi even doing anything. Like, it's one thing that basically Kawhi got $28 million. He was getting more than anybody else that was getting money. So, like, you had this guy that was getting overpaid that didn't do anything, that basically had a deal that was contingent on him being a part of a team. Like, there's seemingly no way that Kawhi or the Clippers had nothing to basically in connection with this company to basically make all this shit happen. These niggas ain't that much of Clipper super fans. That's what I'm saying. Like this deal reeks of sweeteners at the very least, whether it's salary cap manipulation or whatever, but it was a.
Hi, I'm Darren Marlar, host of the Weird Darkness podcast. I want to talk about the most important tool in my podcast belt. Spreaker is the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to record, host, and distribute your show everywhere, from Apple Podcasts to Spotify. But the real game changer for me was Spreaker's monetization. Spreaker offers dynamic ad insertion. That means you can automatically insert ads into your episodes. No editing required. And with Spreaker's programmatic ads, they'll bring the ads to you, and you get paid for every download. This turned my podcasting hobby into a full-time career. Spreaker also has a premium subscription model where your most dedicated listeners can pay for bonus content or early access, adding another revenue stream to what you're already doing. And the best part, Spreaker grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or running a full-blown podcast network, Spreaker's powerful tools scale effortlessly as your show grows. So if you're ready to podcast like a pro and get paid while doing it, check out Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com.
At least something that is untowards of what they should have been doing.
Missy, do you think that this was money going wrong? You should know, because you have a GM that always makes his money go wrong.
Well, damn,
shots fired.
Let's look at who it is. Shots fired. You know, let's look at who it is. Nobody really comes to LA to play for the other guys. So, you know, they typically have to do what they have to do. I mean, it's not surprising. throwing a little something that's not in the contract. Oh, yeah, we forgot. I'm not surprised at all.
We forgot who the fandom this nigga's a part of.
Yeah.
You know, so when you come to, I can't even name him, because when you come to play for the other team in LA, you need something. You need something kind of sweet to make me want to play there, because you're not gonna see a lot of winning. Championships are so far in the distance. I mean, I get it. And it was the perfect guy, because a person like Kawhi, who don't talk much, you know, he ain't gonna say nothing. So it was the perfect guy. It was just that the company slipped up. You know, they had some slipping ups of the company, you know. So that's what happened, I really feel like, because Kawhi was the perfect guy to do that with in the contract. So it wasn't gonna be on him with the company. Of course, you know, old boy knew. Come on now. Everybody knew what was going on behind the scenes. He could play dumb all he want, but they all slipped up. They didn't cover their tracks. They didn't prepare for what could have happened. And when you don't properly prepare and you allow for something to slip through the cracks, you're going to get caught. Mm-hmm. And Adam Silver seemed like a no-play type of guy. So, yes, he is going to make an example out of him. I don't think they're going to take back any of the picks that are at the Thunder. But future picks that they still have, yes, they're about to come up out there. Mm-hmm. They're definitely going to come up out.
Don't worry, Rob. We did forget who his fandom is, but they're not going to do anything lately either. Yeah,
that's true. Let's talk about the other guys.
all of them said y'all don't play defense. Y'all damn near on the brink of being the other guys at times.
That Ole defense. Ole.
Yeah, letting people run past you. But one more thing, that even though Rob may not want to do this, I will acknowledge college football is in full effect right now. It is upon us. It is one of the greatest things in sports history every year. We have college football, NFL.
The pageantry.
Yeah. It's the meet. I don't know if you realize what time of the year is. It's the meeting of three of the biggest sports right now. Baseball, college football, and NFL. All at the same time.
Smell it.
You just smell it. Inhale.
The aroma.
Do you smell what the sports is cooking right now? You gotta smell what the sports is cooking right now. You have to. It is one of the best things. But before we get up out of here, I gotta say one thing. Look, we support our HBCUs, okay? And I know that we be trying to get that money. We be trying to get that money. But Jesus Christ, Grambling, don't do this no more. Don't do this no more. It's been Murder, She Wrote all day long.
Yeah.
It was 70-0. The zero, Rob. 70-0.
Didn't even pinch the bitch.
Do you know that Ohio State quarterback only didn't get one completion? He was 18-19 for 306 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Damn.
Why did he miss?
They only made it past the 50 once the whole game and missed the only field goal opportunity they had. Yeah, Come on now.
Look, little schools.
Jesus.
It's runaway on little schools right now, because Bethune-Cookman is getting railroaded by Miami right now, 35-3. Utah is beating Cal Poly right now, 63-9. Alabama is beating UL Monroe 35-0. Penn State didn't beat Florida International 34-0. Oregon and beat Oklahoma State 69-3. Texas beat San Jose State 38-7. Illinois beat Duke 45-19. At least Duke fought. They tried to fight. And Florida State gave it to East Texas 77-3. Just Lord have mercy. Tennessee beat East Tennessee State. Look, y'all ought to have a civil war going on right now with that ass with them 72-17. It ought to be just shit going on everywhere. Indiana beat Kennesaw 56-9. Texas Tech beat Kent State 62-14. It just ass whoopings everywhere.
Like, you know, I think the best thing, because we all wrestling fans, I think this is what it is. Like, you know, when, like, say, you get Randy Savage going against Ricky Steamboat at WrestleMania 3. Like, you ain't going to have him basically going against him, you know, like, going when they go to Poughkeepsie. It's like, no, it's going to be Randy Savage versus SD Jones. Like, it's going to be Randy Savage versus Barry Horowitz. And basically, right now, we're in a Barry Horowitz matchup, like, week. Like, basically, it's like, it's everybody just to have, like, the analogy I put on Blue Sky this morning, like, when it came to, like, Arch Manning, it's like, that motherfucker went John Cena debuting against Kurt Angle to basically now going against Nunzio. Like, that's what it is, basically. It's like, just so basically, it's like, all right, look, you had the mountaintop. You had the top spot, or you went against the top dude. Now here's, like, you know, just an enhancement talent for you to basically get, you know, some stuff for your highlight promo reel, you know, that's gonna go on the Titantron. You know, like that's what this is supposed to be about, you know.
And just for update for you Bama fans who we really don't care about, but I'm gonna let y'all know about this. Your quarterback right now is 15 for 15, 190 for two touchdowns. Hey,
watch your mouth.
Didn't y'all just take y'all loss last week?
Roll Tide, baby. Roll Tide.
Did y'all just take y'all loss last week?
Speaking of, right. I would like to
know at the end of the season.
Go ahead.
We're gonna be in top five regardless. We always favorite. So at the end of the season, we're gonna be in top five no matter what. You know this. Come on now. It happened every year. Come on, baby.
Top five. What? Okay. But no, be that as it may. All right. I want to basically give somebody their flowers basically for something that happened last week, you know, because, you know, Thomas Castellanos, who is Florida State's quarterback, formerly of Boston College, put the smacketh down on the Tide. Instead of Roll Tide, they was rolled like a blunt. And so I really want to basically talk about that man. And I want to give him some flowers because that man talked his talk and walked his walk. If y'all don't know what Thomas Castellanos did, that man said in the offseason, before this, when basically asked about Alabama, especially because they was going to start a while, he said, they don't have Nick Saban to save them. I just don't see them stopping me. And this is why I want to basically talk about that man. Because that man not only doubled down, he tripled down and basically kept making said, we stand on what I said. So I said what I said. We stand on that. I don't mean disrespect to none of them or none of those guys at Alabama or anything like that. It's just I have confidence in my guys that and the work that we've done, put it in the preparation that we've put the preparation we've been putting together. That's all it was. No disrespect to those guys, but we stand on that. What I said, he's standing on his business, and he stood on the stage and basically took it to the Bama, took it to Roll Tide. Took it to Bama, took it to Tuscaloosa. They didn't have shit to basically answer that man to. And that's why I love it. Because you know what? A lot of these college quarterbacks look beyond. They look to the next level. They look to say, all right, I got to basically be ready for the next level. I got to be ready to get drafted, all this. Thomas Castellanos, 5'10 quarterback, he knows this is his limit. He knows this is basically the end of the road. And so he basically said, I'm going to say what I got to say to Bama because this is the shot that I got to take to them. He was a college quarterback. See, coaches used to basically make comments like these to others. Steve Spurrier used to talk about, I couldn't wait to basically play Georgia. And I'm paraphrasing. I couldn't wait to play Georgia in the second game because I know the first game, three of them guys are going to get suspended. That's what he loved about basically playing against these teams. Like, we're missing. A lot of recipes have basically been lost because quotes haven't been made. College football is about audacious quotes basically given to all these cats. To basically say, I ain't afraid no ghost. I ain't afraid no Saban. I'm basically coming here to beat some ass. And that's what Florida State did. And that's what Florida State shown. Roll these. That's what I'm just saying. Like, that's what Thomas Castellanos said to Nick Saban. That's what he said to the ghost of Roll Tide. He said, I'm going to make y'all ghosts. I'm going to put that stake in y'all heart. I'm basically going to do this. Why? Because I'm here, God damn it. That's what this shit is all about. That's what this shit is all supposed to be for. Thank you, Thomas Castellanos, for bringing the feeling back and making me yell.
He said, I'm
here. All I heard was, all I heard was, I'm not good enough to beat Nick Saban. Thank God he's gone. That's what I heard. And all them flowers, was, I hope that he would die before he gets to smell them.
All I heard was, I'm here to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and I'm fresh out of bubblegum.
God damn.
Man had 152 yards. He threw 14 attempts, 9 completions, and then he ran for another 78 yards and a touchdown off 16 carries. Actually, they had all rushing touchdowns against Alabama. Every touchdown they scored was a rushing touchdown.
Like weak old milk. Roll through him.
Everybody, see what happens when you don't lose often. People get excited, you know, because they don't get to see it too often, you know. So don't worry, we'll be in that top 8 at the end of the season. I ain't worried.
And y'all will be crying. Top 5 to top 8. Alabama make it in. Hold on.
Because that's eight. I'm talking about the 8 that's making the playoffs. I'm talking about one of the 8 teams making the playoffs, period. Then all of a sudden you're going to hear, how did Alabama make it into the playoffs? They had this many losses. It happens all the time. I'm not worried.
Oh, we always know that y'all with some cheating and shit, and y'all slide through the door. They give y'all the benefit of the doubt.
They shouldn't have got in. They don't need to be that high. It's coming.
Sad. It's okay. I mean, look. Denial is that first step, man. Like, I understand where you at with it. I understand that basically you've had a lot of disappointment. The Braves, ass. The Cowboys, next to ass. The Lakers, pre-ass. Like, I understand, like, what is going on with all your fandoms, dog. And I'm just here to basically be, like, just a helping hand and just basically be, like, hey, bow down to somebody that's greater than you. Thomas Castellanos basically did that to y'all. All right?
I've had at least 5 championships from my sports teams in this decade. How many of your sports teams won this decade, right?
Why are you bringing the bullshit?
All together? But, you know, just asking. No, you know, Nate got a couple this decade.
First of all, this decade, he ain't win shit this decade. Like in the last 10 years,
Denver won, the Lakers the one. My UConn Huskies done won. Come on now. Lakers done won this day. Come on now.
Man, none of the teams I need to win championships. We got this. All right. We got this right here.
LSU, Rob. In the last 10 years, LSU.
I kind of count them.
Something about the 2020s, you know.
I mean, LSU is something that we share at least. Like, if you're talking, not with you. Never mind. Yeah, LSU. But yeah, but like, yeah, Vikings. Look, I predict them to be in the Super Bowl. So we'll see. I don't see anybody looking at your Cowboys and thinking worth a damn. Like, I think y'all basically was like, "Ooh, we got to give away Micah, so we don't have an excuse of why we're gonna fail this year." Like, we're gonna be like, "Ooh, no, oh, we're without our Pro Bowl, our All Pro pass rusher. We're so poor." Man.
Come on now. When y'all finally get a Super Bowl winning quarterback? Come on now. Y'all been hanging on Kirk Cousins for so long. Then y'all went to Sam Darnold. Come on now. Y'all ain't even got a quarterback that could take you to the Super Bowl.
Neither do y'all. Like, the only nigga that basically won a Super Bowl that's still living with y'all is in the booth, I think. No, Staubach's still alive, I think. Never mind. Roger. Yeah. Well, I'm saying that's the only nigga I was thinking about, like, actually, like, living, like, that basically has won a Super Bowl for the Cowboys. Granted, we ain't got that many people that basically been to the Super Bowl as a Viking, but All I'm saying is, look, we're gonna get there. You be patient. We right there. We're right there on the cusp. On the cusp. And JJ,
we're gonna be in a nursing home before we get there. That's what's gonna happen.
We're gonna be in a nursing home before
they get there.
Within the next 5 years, the Vikings will be in a Super Bowl. On wax. I said on wax right here. Within 5 years, Vikings will be in a Super Bowl.
Turn Madden off.
He got a good young team. We got
potential. Y'all could have took the nigga named Dallas, and y'all might have been worth the damn. But no, y'all ain't want to do that shit. Fuck it up.
You gotta let him know, Rob. He got bigger issues this season. Whenever his star wide receiver driving the pass, they could have made the game.
Oh, three of them things that we talk about. Jalen Carter spitting that motherfucking coffin like that. That nigga CD basically was like, "Nah, fuck this shit." Hey, come on now, you gotta catch the goddamn ball, bring it in, and hit your hands.
Look. Okay, you know, you hollering because you got Justin Jefferson. Okay, you know, you have one of the top two wide receivers. You know, you don't have nobody that could really throw him the ball anyway. You know, having somebody, but ain't nobody to throw it to him. Come on now.
Because I'm supposed to believe in Dak. Audience, chat, help me out. I'm supposed to believe in Dak. Why the fuck should I do a thing like that?
See, y'all looking at it, but Dak don't be the reason we lose. Look, he threw the ball in CD hands. CD didn't make the play.
I'm just saying, it's a combined effort. I'm
blaming Dak. See,
it's a combined effort.
He threw it right here, CD.
I think what Rob is trying to say, if you put that ball in Justin Jefferson's hands like that, I don't think he's dropping it. I think that's a touchdown.
And that man taking the ball in. Pause. Well, look, Justin Jefferson catches that ball and does shit with it. CeeDee Lamb basically like, you do it to me? Oh, goddamn. Like, what the fuck, man?
He still had over 100 yards in the game. He still balled out, though, even though he dropped the one that mattered.
Oh, damn, empty stats. Oh, I never heard that before. But no, like, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, that man, when the game was on the line, that man was like, fuck this shit, I'm out. Like, I'll lose this game. You guys don't worry about it.
Let's see if you remember this reference, Rob. He went from CeeDee Lamb to Clifford Franklin. But second round. They should have bought out the big ass jar of Stick'em for him.
Oh, man. Yeah, not want to catch that ball.
What happened? Clifford got it together in the end, baby. Clifford Franklin got it together in the end.
Well, that's, you know, after a few stick 'em touchdowns, you know, he learned where he needed to have his hands. I mean, he got it. But, you know, guys, thank you for watching this tonight. You already know, Bro Amigos Podcast. We are here. Remember, like, subscribe, tell your people about
it. You see it right there. You know, it's right there.
It's right here. It's right here.
You know, right there.
Just fuck with your boys. We about tell to get up out of here. That's what he gonna tell them right there. But anything y'all want to say before we get about it?
Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. Again, we almost at football. Like, one more sleep till football season. Like, real, real football. Football Sunday. Red zone. All that good shit. Like, I cannot wait. Monday Night Football, Vikings. I cannot wait. Fantasy football, of course. But, yeah. Get our podcast wherever you get podcasts, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Amazon Music for the Karens out there. Whether it's Apple Podcasts, because everybody gets our shit off Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever you use, you can cop our podcast. It's right there. And you can like and subscribe. You can tell everybody. You can rate and review us. Did you know you could do that? Boom. Mind blown. Mind blown. Like, you can rate, review us, and tell us, were we wrong? Were we right? Say, hey, Rob, Vizky, y'all, Nate, y'all motherfuckers always right. Y'all motherfuckers are the best. Y'all should basically get $50 million like Kawhi did. Like, I'm willing to basically say y'all should be saying that. I don't know why you don't. You should do that right after this podcast. If you see or hear my voice, do it right now.
Yep.
Call me now. But yeah, y'all have a good night. Y'all have a good morning. Y'all have a good whenever y'all listen to this. All right.
And then you gotta say basically.
Now it's my turn. You know, Nate took his turn. I just got a little, keep it short and sweet. Black Red in the fantasy league. Do you really think you're going to beat Joe Burrow? Cool Joe Burrow, the number one statistical quarterback for the past few years in fantasy football? Do you really think that is an option for you? Please. Ain't going to happen. And let's not talk about only backs. Let's just not get there. Because I see you got the San Francisco 49ers as your profile picture. How's it going to feel when your own quarterback, Brock Purdy, hands you that loss?
Ooh.
I got him starting this week. Your own quarterback is going to give you that first L. How's it going to feel when he takes that football, turn that zombie sideways, and stick it straight up your candy ass?
Uh-oh.
That's all I got to say about that.
You know what? That actually reminds me to talk about somebody in only QBs right now. Fees is 3,000. You really go come to me, the guy, Bizzle314, and you're going to really think that you got Brock Purdy, and that's going to really do something? You really think you're going to come to me with something like that? You bringing a shotgun to a bazooka. You really bringing a 357 Magnum to a nuke. Kyler Murray's about to run his badass all over New Orleans, and I'm basically about to take this dub away from you. What you need to realize is that there's a title coming, and there's one waist that it's going to be on, and it fits this motherfucker right here. So you will be the first. You will be one of the zero or one of the ones in my 1-0 this year or this week. So prepare to be that. Prepare to be that.
See? I inspire others to cut promos like that. And to take us out, I got one for y'all. Here we go. 9 letters. One word. Good night, y'all. See y'all later.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bra Amigos podcast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.